What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
First third down for Chicago, third and five. Williams in, rhythm again, there's Zacchaeus. And Olamide Zacchaeus takes it to the end zone for the Bears' touchdown. 36-yard touchdown to finish off a 93-yard drive to start this game.
I'll tell you what, the Ben Johnson era, even though it's the preseason, couldn't have started. Watch the switch release here and what it does, creating leverage for Zacchaeus, and then it's just man coverage. Runs past DeMar Hamlin, the safety, and it's nothing but green grass ahead.
The Bears are back, baby.
That's exactly what's going through every single Bears fan in this stadium right now. I guarantee you that.
Got our quarterback, got our head coach. Wins the parade.
Highlights courtesy of Fox. You heard it, you saw it last night. The Bears win and their first unit offense was dominant. Yes, there are a bunch of caveats that you need to put into place. One, it's a preseason game. Two, Buffalo kind of wasn't really trying.
Can you imagine being a Bills fan and going to that game and being like, all right, going to see my team. Let's go.
And not going to see your team.
Not going to see anybody on your team and see him get absolutely pounded.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah.
And three, the idea of they seem to value the practice more than the game. That being said, Matt Spiegel, and it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're here with you until 6 o'clock. I think that there are a lot of things to build off of. And after a training camp that has been mid for what we've seen of the Bears offense, it was nice for them to have a night where things clicked, and they clicked in a big way.
Yeah, they really did. It was thrilling to see very smart, sensible offensive structure being executed well. And we'll talk plenty about Caleb, and we should, and we will, but you saw what Ben Johnson likes to do on offense, and he's really, really good. He's really smart, and it's like fourth and fifth string running backs, but running backs in the NFL, even fourth and fifth string ones, can be effective if you block well and you scheme well. And then play action can be effective no matter who the running back is, because it messes with people's eyes on the defense. And Ben Johnson's understanding of that is elite. So seeing all these targets, whether it's Loveland or Kmet streaking down the middle, mm-hmm. or Burden crossing, or DJ Moore coming back, or Rome, even though he dropped one, he could have. Like all these guys, seeing all these people being hit in stride. And that's where you get to the Caleb part, but just look at the design. The design is so good.
The beautiful thing about the beginning of that game is if you were one of those people that were sitting there at the draft going, the Loveland thing is interesting that they did that. I think that you got a really good primer for what it could look like with him and why he's different. That being said, Cole Kmet also can play a huge role, and you can mix and match with matchups against defenses. And seeing Caleb get things started by going to his tight ends, I thought was absolutely incredible.
Me too.
So let's listen to how those things played out yesterday, where you're getting Kmet and Loveland involved immediately.
We were talking to Ryan Poles last night, and he said the last couple weeks in practice, we've seen a real change in Caleb Williams, because he was getting rode hard. He was getting overly coached and really critical, and a lot of the small things that Ben Johnson wants to see. And they said the growth that he has had over the last 5 to 10 days had been exactly what they were hoping to see. And I'm not really surprised after that opening drive, based on what Ryan Poles says. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's the old cliche of we're going to make it as hard on you as we can during practice so the games seem easy.
Absolutely.
Coaching them hard, throwing everything in the playbook at them, and then pairing it back from there. Third and five, pressure coming. Good blitz pick up there by Brown. Throw to the outside is incomplete for Adunze. Roma Adunze, the first-round pick last year, couldn't quite pull that in.
But again, I just like the way the ball is coming out of Caleb Williams' hands. He's not holding it. He's not second-guessing his read. Great job there by the back on the blitz protection. And that ball needs to be caught. And that ball is accurate. It's on time. They're going to be tight windows on this press coverage on third down. And those are the plays as the course of the year goes on. Roma Adunze's got to make.
It's a pretty good start to this one. It's another tight end in Cole Kmet. All the way out near the 45-yard line, a gain of 28.
Yeah, so take a look here. You got two high safeties. They're going to push, and he's just going to run right down, run a middle bender. Just runs right by the Mike linebacker, and that's something that they really are harping on with Caleb Williams. Last year, it was a lot of improv. It was a lot of playing off script. And that pass to Kmet, that back foot hits the ground. Ball is out on time, accurate. It allows for a lot of run after catch. That's really well executed there by Caleb Williams.
Second and 15. Time to throw. Open tight end, Loveland again. Got 19 yards and a first down to the 41. And he had all day to throw behind that revamped O-line.
And just a really nice job. This is his read. He knows if this hook player doesn't get enough depth, Loveland's going to be able to get right over the top of him. That's Joe Andreessen, Buffalo Joe, they like to call him back home. And he just doesn't get enough depth under that crossing route. Now that's the third target and completion to a Bears tight end on this opening drive.
Let's go, right?
Hey, they know who's in town.
Those guys were loving it. The whole country in terms of NFL media is extremely excited about the idea of the Bears being good. You know, a market like this, a quarterback like that, a coach like that, just the opportunities that that'll present to have, you know, a great team in this market.
Yeah, I'm with Greg, courtesy of Fox, Joe Davis and Greg Olson on the call. I'm with Greg in looking at Caleb. And I am here for all of the, yeah, but it was the second team. Yeah, I agree with you. Like that, those are things that you have to consider when you're trying to evaluate what happened. But what we got to see, what I was really happy to see, is what Greg talked about. You got to see some of the raw, like, arm talent of Caleb Williams mixed in with better overall mechanics, like play mechanics, like the idea of, hey, you get to the top of your drop, throw the ball, like go ahead and step into that throw and throw it. And we saw that happen over and over again on the 10 attempts that he made last night. It was great to see him just be comfortable and say, we don't have to worry, like that guy's open. I'm going to zip the ball.
Yeah, man.
It's exactly where Ben told me this guy was going to be open. He's open. He's getting the ball right now.
Yeah, it was incredible to see. And you had some doubts over the last couple of weeks whether you were going to be able to see that from Caleb. There's going to be a lot of bumps along the way. There'll be plenty of bumps, what's going on. But like, this is a big, big moment because I think Joe Davis referenced it there of like having practice be so hard and then the game gets easier. I marry what we saw, Lawrence, with what we heard from Ben on Friday. If anybody was listening to this show or even just heard the presser, maybe they realized Ben changed the goals of what camp had been very directly on Friday. And then you saw it play out. There was an onboarding process that was very daunting and uncomfortable and caused a lot of mistakes. And Caleb made a ton of mistakes in that onboarding process. And there'll be more of that.
Correct.
But now they've winnowed down a little bit. At least this first week, they winnowed down and they said, just do this stuff really well. And he's like, oh, okay. I can do that.
I don't have to be in charge of the entire offense today?
Yeah, I don't need to make sure that I don't screw up 150 different plays with all these different pre-snaps. I can just do this stuff. Oh, okay. I think I can do that. And he did that. It really, so I hope that Ben, and I think he will continue to keep it simple in game plans and, you know, week at a time. But now he's got an option here of another few weeks because Caleb won't play on Friday, probably.
I talked a little bit about this on House of L. I imagine everything now is the Vikings.
So think about everything. That gives you another, 3 weeks? So you've got another, because Monday, right, it's 3 weeks from tonight. It's 3 weeks from tonight for the Vikings game. That means if you want to do some more onboarding and then winnow it down again, you could. But that sort of might mean having to go through the same thing psychologically that you just did, where you broke them down a little bit and then build them back up. You might want to just keep them built up. You might just want to like leave this confidence in place and keep it nice and simple between now and then. I'm not sure. It's up to Ben. But like, I trust his process at this point.
Well, the process definitely played out. But you do have to go, okay, you're playing against twos. Your players are way better than them. And then you add someone like Loveland to it, and they can make a world of difference in what an offense kind of looks like.
Yeah, can I say one thing about Loveland? Because we heard after the draft, when I kind of wrapped my head around it, Ben Johnson could not run his offense without a guy like Loveland. And you know and can speak to what kind of tight end he is. And we see it last night. A guy who can be a wide receiver, essentially. Like, yeah. You can't do it without that guy.
The way that he can stretch defenses and really put pressure on them. And Greg talked a little bit about it yesterday, the concept of when a defense runs like big nickel, like you think of a guy like Van Ginkel, for example, like being out there, and that guy can run, like he's a good player. But if you run into some situations where maybe it's a safety who's there and you go, all right, we can now motion into the matchup that we want and send Loveland, who runs like a wide receiver, there's a world of opportunities that are there for you because of that guy. He's not the only guy that I want to spotlight. We've been talking about this, right? Like, we've been talking about when I went and saw practice, I was like, hey, Speeds, you know who was really good at practice? Luther Burden. And let me tell you that he did something that you've been talking about. Like, the concept of this has been on the mind of anyone who's paid attention to Ben Johnson, who says, no block, no rock, right? Well, we saw Luther Burden go out there and be like, hey, I would also like to show you that I am physical in the run game or the protection game, too.
A guy that we've talked a lot about. We're going to talk about your draft here in a second. But Luther Burden, the young wide receiver. I don't know if you've caught some of the clips. The two goal line touchdowns you scored, if you haven't seen it yet, wait till you see the two, you know, crack replace type blocks he had on the edge. We showed it two or three times. His physicality in the run game, is that something you guys knew? Because obviously physically as a receiver running the catch radius, obviously that jumps off the tape.
Yeah, I think that's Luther is a tough dude. Run after the catch, I knew that was a special part of his game. What I think you can take away from that is our coaches, and that there's a standard of how you're going to play. That was not how it looked early in training camp, trust me. And he heard about it a lot, and now you get to the lights come on, and he's executing the way that the coaching staff needs it to be done, and it's selflessness. It's just helping his running back sprint free and score a touchdown. So if he continues to do that, he's going to be a special player in this league.
I'm sure you saw him, but we got some pretty good angles of him right here. I know this is going to warm an old lineman's heart right here.
That's physical now in that crack. Wait till you see this one. He takes this guy 3 yards back in the end zone.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it before. If you're going to play in Ben Johnson's offense, if you're an unwilling perimeter blocker as a wide receiver, I don't care how fast you are, you're not going to play.
No. No block, no rock.
Here you go. Write that down, kids.
Yeah, he got it from Ben Johnson. Got it from Antoine Randall-El. Got it from that whole Lions thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they drafted a kid who's into it. Man, there's so much to like about Luther Burden. And I started doing a category last night. We're not going to do it for categories. But I started doing a category of second-round draft pick wide receivers who turned into freaking world beaters. And there's a bunch that are playing right now. A.J. Brown was a second-round draft pick. DK Metcalf was a second-round draft pick. Davante Adams was a second-round draft pick. Cooper Kupp was a second-round draft pick. But really, those first three, I mean, come on, and there's more. But, like, there are some dudes at that position.
I mean, Cooper Kupp, a dude, too.
Yeah, but for sure. But, like, the reason he's not a first-round draft pick is because his quarterback was bad in college, especially in his last year. That's why he's not a one. It's not because of anything that – I mean, I know there were some other issues.
There were some concerns of
– I know.
Whether or not he really wanted to play and what he was like. Like, that's what excited me about it, Speaks, because it played against type a little bit, where one of the things about Burden was, what is he when he doesn't have the ball in his hands? And that's why, to me,
sure,
that stuff that was going on the goal line is huge.
Absolutely.
Because that's a guy that's bought in to – okay, I got you. This is how I have to earn my opportunity to play. So be it. And then watch what I do when I get the ball in my hands as well.
I love the way that A.J. Brown blocks in the Eagles' run game. I love the way that he blocks on passing plays. We've highlighted that stuff in seasons past. Like, this might be a dude that they found, and I love – and it just – I'm always going to think of how excited Antoine Randle was on draft night when they got that guy.
Can I give every Bears fan who's listening another piece of good news? It also might be really good news for this show, too.
Okay.
Guess who worked out before the game yesterday?
Jalen Johnson.
He sure did.
He worked out.
Ben Johnson thinks he'll play week one, but – at least, I mean, he was running, at least, and that gives me hope that we found him,
yeah,
number one, because that was important. Like,
sure,
where is Jalen?
Uh-huh.
We found him, and he was out there working out before the game, and so they think he will be ready for week one. Kyler Gordon thing is definitely still a concern, but I'm always
concerned. Can I give everybody a piece of bad news?
Sure.
For the Bears? Ozzie Trapillo got his number called before halftime when he was guilty of a false start. And that was pretty much the highlight of Ozzie Trapillo's night. He is not on the left tackle depth chart, it seems, to my knowledge,
now. I think we are now in the place of it is Braxton Jones's job to lose.
Yeah, and it might be Theo Benedet as a backup. And Theo can actually play guard. He played a lot of it last year for the practice squad. But, like, Ozzie Trapillo, is that a worthwhile second-round draft pick if that is your swing tackle for a while? It's too early to say
It's funny. I was thinking about it this morning, Speaks. I'm like,
it's too early.
If he's not out there, how do you feel about it? And I guess you feel okay because then you're going to take the year to allow him to get opportunities, and maybe instead of paying Braxton Jones $100 million, which is what we're talking about, if he's a really successful tackle on an offense that jumps into the top half of the NFL.
I get it, but they drafted a project in Karan Amagaji in the third.
I don't think you have to worry about him anymore.
Okay, well, I mean, this is a two, and look, it's early, and Bennett keeps saying the guy who starts at left tackle might not be the guy who finishes at left tackle.
That's what I keep thinking.
Well, that's clearly what they dream of for Ozzie, but he's not ready to be a left tackle in this league, which is a little... you know, I it's okay. He's young. It's fine. But I find myself concerned. That said, Braxton has started 40 games, and having Braxton against a Brian Flores defense in game one sounds just fine to me.
Yep. So pretty good for the Bears. And there's going to be all sorts of Bears conversation on tomorrow's show as well. We're actually kind of in a weird place as a show because we don't know what show we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah, because if there's a rainout tonight, then we might not be doing the midday show. We're supposed to do the show swap and have Nico and be over at Brick House. But
there's a flood warning, so that's problematic. And who knows when they might schedule a doubleheader if tonight's game gets rained out. But so, I digress. So,
well, maybe the doubleheader won't be till Wednesday.
That's very possible as well. And then we could do the show, and that would be dope. By the way, we're giving away a pair of general admission passes to Riot Fest on Friday, September 19th. The acts on Friday include Blink 182, Weird Al Yankovic, Alkaline Trio, Rilo Kiley, The Pogues, and more. September 19th through 21st over at Douglas Park.
It's a phenomenal festival. I love that we're doing stuff with Riot Fest. I'm going to go out there on that Saturday, the 20th, and talk to hopefully some of the musicians out there.
When we do give the... Do we have a sounder for it, Tanny?
Yeah, we got one, yeah.
All right, be caller 6 when you hear this.
Here they are, Guar.
At 312-540-0670. I know someone on the near lane tech that probably perked their ears right up when it was Guar.
He loved getting covered in blood at Guar shows and otherwise.
When we come back, there was something spectacular that Spiegs experience this weekend baseball-wise, and it wasn't singing the national anthem at the Cubs game. It actually happened on the other side of town. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Congratulations to The Score's own Matt Spiegel for an amazing job singing the national anthem in game one of the Cubs-Brewers doubleheader.
Matt Spiegel sing the anthem today, and an outstanding job by Matt.
I thought it was one of the best renditions we've heard all year long from anybody.
Yep.
Great job, Matt, from all of us at Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome in, friends, to Banana Ball Live on ESPN2. We've got a full house here at Rate Field.
Now coming to bat, please welcome AJ Burzynski! Please welcome Mark Burley!
And Mark Burley gets the job done, throwing to AJ Burzynski.
Please welcome Paul Konerko!
With Metallica blaring, words with our first base umpire, John Byrne. And Ozzie Guillen dancing with the Savannah Bananas. What a funny world we live in.
It's kind of crazy that after a really good reunion, I thought the White Sox did a great reunion with 05, that the Bananas kind of also had an 05 reunion over at the ballpark.
I love them.
I do too. I was kind of expecting AJ, like that just seems like the type of thing AJ would be down for.
Yeah, that felt like it was on brand. I know they'd done guests in different towns and some recently retired players that they've utilized.
Getting Burley?
Dude, it was
emotional. And then getting PK!
I know, that was Saturday night, PK and Ozzy as a follow-up. It's not, they could have just repeated AJ and Burley on the Saturday, and two different 40,000 person crowds would have been thrilled. And that's when it hit a different level for me, and I was able to go on Friday. But seeing Burley to AJ, and I was seeing some Sox fans get flat out emotional. I got chills.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, and I texted Chris Tannehill, and I'm like, dude, Burley just pitched to AJ here. Like, so not only was it the spectacle, and I got thoughts on all of that, but that was like a real legit moment of like, oh my God, those two guys together, and they love each other. The big hug that they had after the final out was outrageous. And oh, by the way, the final out of the inning was recorded when the shortstop dribbled the baseball between his legs and then threw it to first. That was the final out of Burley's innings. Because it's freaking banana ball. That thing was amazing. I was blown away. It was way, I don't know. You know what it was? It reminded me of like being at Cirque du Soleil, which was somebody's great idea that just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, and they figured out how to do it on that level. You know, like, and Jesse Cole is totally, he's like P.T. Barnum out there in his yellow tails and his top hat.
He's like Bill Veeck.
But it's also like, it's just like, it felt uniquely kind of American. And obviously it's baseball, but just if you have a great entertainment idea in this country, it can blow up. Like Blue Man Group was like two people's idea in New York at one point, and it just blew up into this thing, and they figured out how to do it. The size of this as a business entity, I couldn't stop thinking about. They figured out how to keep it going and make it into what it is, and it was a fascinating phenomenon on a lot of levels just to watch.
They've tapped into something, and when I was playing ball, like if you ask any of my teammates, they'd be like, Lawrence was the baseball police. Like, if you ask them, one of the best compliments I ever got
was from Brian McCann.
No.
It was from Bud Norris.
Yeah, well, also, yes.
It was Tony La Russa.
But we had a play in a game. I think we were playing Marquette, and I threw down. And at the time, the shortstop and the second baseman had dated the same girl. And it was not great, right? Like, and there was beef. And I threw down, and it went in between them. And I lost my – and the woman that I was dating at the time, she was explaining it to some people that were in the stands. And she goes, Lawrence would yell at Derek Jeter if he messed up like that. And I was like, yep, that is exactly right. So for me, seeing this play out, you would think that I would hate it. And I don't. I love it. And I told the guys, because I ran into the Bananas and the Firefighters. You were at home. And after we finished the show on Thursday, I went down there and they were here to see the Wilson people. And I told them, I was like, guys, I really love what you're doing for the game.
But then you told them what?
That I'm a party animals guy.
That you're a party animals guy.
Yeah, I root for one of the other teams.
That's the other team that they play against.
Yeah.
So
there's four teams, right? I forget what the other one is, but it's Firefighters, the Bananas, the Party Animals, and there's one more. But I just, they were super nice. They get that they're here to sell something. And you're right. The entrepreneurial spirit of what's being done.
That is amazing. All I want to do is talk to my dad about it, who taught small business development for a while. Like, because that part of it is amazing. But here's an extra level to all that. Okay. I'm watching this thing and I'm realizing, man, this is an enormous endeavor. How many people? Let's see. They got the Firefighters and the Bananas. So that's two full teams, two full coaching staffs, all their training people, all their promotional people, everything that's going on with all of that to make everything happen. The technical people with the music and everything, which was constant.
The Texas Tailgaters is the other team.
They were doing this entire thing that they did in Chicago this weekend at the same time in Arkansas against the Tailgaters. So they were doing it. It's double. So I'm watching this thing and thinking about how massive it is. Then, by the way, there's a post-game concert with thousands of people in one of the parking lots. And the merch tents in the back of every single parking lot are packed the entire time. And so there's all those people as they're making all this money on the merch. And so I'm thinking, what is a traveling party for one of these things? 400 people? 500 people? How many buses are we talking about here? This is a massive... It was happening twice.
Yeah.
In two different markets. That's how massive this thing is.
I was out watching. It was just in the middle of the summer. I was at Fat Poor. I was at Fat Poor in the South Loop. And I'm watching. That's the game that they played in Nashville. And they played that game in the football stadium in Nashville. They had 60,000 people in Nashville show up. And I'm like, holy crap. 80,000 people over the weekend
here.
At White Sox.
And they sold it out in Arkansas two nights.
People were having a great time. And you get to, it's weird because we talk about, like, you and I, Tanny, you know, Sean's a big baseball guy too. We often have to kind of defend our love for baseball and be like, no. Did you see that crazy catch in San Francisco yesterday where the guy catches the ball with his knees?
Jung-Hoo Lee.
Right.
Catch of the decade.
Have you ever seen Mike Trout run first to third? Like, the athleticism is insane.
Sure, the nuance of it.
But now where people go, oh, wow, like, look at the athleticism that all of the guys that are part of the banana ball league.
Oh, dude.
What they're doing. Like, even the and sure, it's a bit. Watching the guy pitch on stilts
is outrageous.
It's crazy.
And like multiple outfielders doing backflips as they catch fly balls. I mean, it's like multiple. And so many trick plays. And like, it's just all of it. I was talking to somebody in the game. Oh, at Wrigley on Saturday, I was talking about it with everybody as I'm working Wrigley. And somebody said, you know, I know a lot of guys who just have quit independent baseball and would rather just play for those guys.
Why wouldn't you?
Because they'd rather be firefighters or tailgaters or bananas.
They'll be paid better.
They'll be paid better and they'll have more fun. So this thing, I got to tell you, Lawrence, my son was there. He doesn't love going to ball games. Okay? He doesn't love going to ball games. He finds it a little boring sometimes. He was enthralled. My nephew was there, and he was also at Wrigley today for the anthem. He liked the Bananas a hell of a lot better than he liked being at Wrigley today. Their regular baseball is a different animal, especially to the young crowd, than this thing. It is so massively different. It is constant attention span feeding. It is walk-up songs that play through the at-bat. It is pitchers working unbelievably fast. It is a bit between every half inning. Oh, here's Chance the Rapper coming out of center field.
With his new album out this week.
With a five-minute song presentation with both teams dancing, choreographed, that they somehow found time to work out, and it was executed beautifully. The whole thing, it has a two-hour timer. It's counting down. The game ended with 7 minutes left on the timer. Pre-game was an hour and a half of constant entertainment. Like, it is a thing. MLB has a lot that they can learn from this. Not that they should change the game itself, but I'm sure that they will consider some things. But changing the promotion and borrowing from it, and we're going to talk to Brooks Boyer of the White Sox in the next day or two about how this came together with AJ and Burley and Konerko and Ozzy, but also about what MLB can learn, because there is a lot to learn.
So, Speaks, I'm in Kansas City on Saturday. I was like, okay, this is perfect. A little 20-hour trip. Wasn't very expensive to fly to KC. And I go to the museum. The museum is great. And then I said, I'm going to go watch the White Sox play. And I'm sitting there, and you should have seen me, man. I was legitimately just sitting there smiling, being like, look at all these young people here, man. Like, this is nice. There's so many young. I kept seeing teenagers, college age people at the game, and it wasn't like a family outing. Mm. They were all like there together. And I'm like, look at baseball. Look at baseball out here in Kansas City, bringing people together. Young people are coming to the ballpark. This is awesome. And then I was sitting there going, wait, why are all these young people here? Is this just the hang? Is Kansas City not fun? Kansas City is very fun, and downtown Kansas City is great. I found out that there was a concert after the game. And it was Ty Myers, who's young, and like people went and saw Ty Myers.
Oh, so those kids were not there to see the baseball, or they were in part to see the baseball?
Kind of. And then this guy's got a guitar, he's young, he's good looking, and he sings pretty well. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's why. It wasn't baseball that brought these people in. It was a draw of something like that happening. They clearly got his target audience. But this is what baseball has to do, and it's okay. It's okay to get Flo Rida out of the game.
Got Alex Kuhn to the South Side.
It sure did. Mm-hmm. But that's some of the showy stuff that the Bananas are doing that baseball itself is like, how do we figure this out?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of conversational meat left on the radio show bone. How did I do with that? Did that work, or did that kind of die
today,
on the vine?
On your day,
we're gonna let you have it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Conversational meat.
You just keep nailing things all day long. Just doing the best.
Every one a Maserati today, Chris. Every single one. Yeah, we got stuff to touch on tomorrow. From all sorts of realms, and there's more on this banana stuff that we need to get to for sure.
Yes, and there's also stuff, you talk about a change in message. We have got to continue to chronicle the change in message and messaging that is going on with where the Bears plan to play football. We'll share with you next here on The Score.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Or Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
Plenty to talk about on the field. What's the latest with the stadium project? I know a lot of your focus is devoted to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we have a great site in Arlington Heights, 326 acres of land, a beautiful piece of land. And now we just have to bring it to reality. We this is a jobs opportunity. You're talking about 56,000 construction jobs, over 9,000 permanent jobs. And the good thing about it, it's in Cook County. It's where Chicago is. It'll add a lot of panache here. We've never hosted a Super Bowl here. We've never hosted a Final Four in other college games. So it's coming along well. So hopefully we can get it approved in the fall veto session.
Holy Chicago. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
By the way, tonight is supposedly game two of the Cubs-Brewers doubleheader from Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Spiegs supposedly is not in the copy, please.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, if we can stick to the copy, it'd be great.
Tonight is game two.
Yay! Of the Cubs-Brewers. Baseball.
Just staple that back onto the thing. It's just that it's dark and rainy and spooky.
We literally just saw Caitlin Sharky go live on Channel 9 from there.
I'm talking about Sharkin.
And it does not
like
look
a doll's eyes.
It doesn't look like there's good.
Not talking about day tripping, pleasure boating.
Maybe there'll be a maybe there's a window. You know, weather people maybe. Around baseball love to talk about the window.
If there's a window at your house, close it.
But there is a flash flood watch until 4 a.m.
Oh, that seems troubling.
And we're trying to figure out how to get Spiegs home on a bike.
Yeah, I know.
Better get a bigger boat.
Oh, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yep. So anyway, you may have noticed inside of there that there are some things that are now being mentioned when it comes to the Bears Stadium that weren't mentioned before.
Yeah, and Greg Olson tried to help Kevin Warren as a league partner talk about why they might actually stay in Chicago. But Kevin Warren, we kind of made it clear they're not doing that.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about how important it is, especially for the fan base. You talked about the history. Maybe no franchise in the league has the history that the Bears do. Keeping it in Chicago, you know, as opposed to maybe going to some of the surrounding areas, how important is it to you guys at the organization to keep the future home of the Bears in Chicago?
Yeah, one good thing about it is Chicago and also Arlington Heights is in Cook County. We're in the
No, Greg, we've punted on Chicago. We were unable to do that, and now we're trying to lobby the governor downstate just by talking about it a lot. We think that's how we're supposed to do it, and that's what we're trying to do. Don't ask me about Chicago anymore. You got that?
I'm glad that they have now realized that Chicago is in the county of Cook.
They forgot to tell Greg, though. So he asked him, and he's like, oh, no, we've always loved Cook County. That's what we've always loved.
All right, Kevin, hey. Sure appreciate the time. Exciting times around here for you and the Bears.
We appreciate you so much. And here's a couple pens to give a tribute to Miss Virginia McCaskey.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you so much.
Some pens that we have. So hopefully you can figure out how to wear these at some
appreciate
point.
You,
thank you for everything you all do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Great to see you.
And when I'm back in Cook County, I feel
He's never talked about the lakefront, guys. Don't ever bring the lakefront up again.
No. Same county. So it's important for us to work this out. But it looks like, you know, it will afford us an opportunity for everyone across this great state of Illinois that we live in to be able to benefit from it. I mean,
or Northwest Indiana.
We'll have
to go over there.
So, Tanny, I thought he said pens at first. Like
So did I. But so I love the idea.
Like this? Like you gave him a bear's pen?
Here's some pens.
A bear's writing pen?
No, he gave him pins.
How much? Which was great, by the way. You know, the patches. Like the first thing I see when I'm on vacation is a viral video of Speak saying how much he hates the patches. The honor for Virginia House McCaskey.
I mean, good for Virginia, but those are enormous and an eyesore. And everybody knows it. And even George knows it.
Cook County, I feel it.
I mean, George said, my mom would hate them, but here's what we have right
this
here.
This is just what we have.
Yeah.
How many people do you think on the Fox crew did Kevin give his business card to?
Oh, my God.
I hope none. I hope we're the only ones.
Our interaction was special. How dare you? How dare you? I guarantee you he didn't talk about soul music with those guys.
You don't know. Joe Davis may have surprised you.
But then did Joe Davis start a playlist that he then shared with Kevin Warren? No.
You don't know. Maybe he did.
I'll ask Joe.
I'm sure Greg actually has some music that Kevin... Never mind.
There's a couple problematic words in there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Sorry.
He was a young man.
Greg was a young man.
You do stuff.
This is as good of a talk radio city as there is in the country. What do we think, boys? We got a quarterback controversy in Chicago.
After an expedited
Oh, come on, Joe.
Yeah, don't do that.
We're smarter than that.
Barely.
But thank you for the compliment. We
Barely.
Appreciate that.
Nope.
By the way, tomorrow, we hope and
we
assume
don't know.
It. We think that from 10 to 2, we'll be doing a special edition of our show from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. We'll be joined by Nico Horner for the 12 p.m. hour at the Cubs on Deck Luncheon. Raheemian Harris will follow us from 2 to 6 for your afternoon drive home. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today.
For Sean, for Tanny, for my partner Matt Spiegel, who knocked it out of the park singing the national anthem today, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor at whatever time we're on tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. Stay safe. Make sure your sump pumps are working. And we'll talk to you tomorrow whenever it is we get on the air. Peace, y'all.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.